the blessing. These other girls, my, I just appreciate that. Appreciate that kind of talent. Them, Dylan, these others that pit and play. Boy, it just blesses my heart. I just thank God for that. They could be using it. I've often said it. They could be using it in a lot of places, in a lot of ways. But I'm glad to use it for the glory and the honor of Almighty God. What a blessing that is. I thank God for it today. I'm a soldier bound for glory. I'm glad that I know where I'm headed. I'm going home one day after a while. Thank God that I am His. I'm washed in the blood. I'm not always what I ought to be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. I'm glad that I am a sinner saved by grace. I still sin. I still fail, and I still fall flat on my face on occasion, but I'm glad that I have been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not my own anymore. What a blessing that is. Have your Bibles this morning. Turn to John 11. John chapter number 11. We started to read this last Sunday, and the Lord saw fit to do some other things, and that was fine, but could not get it off of my heart, could not get away from it, and felt impressed to the Lord that I need to go back there again today and share this thought and these words with our hearts this morning in the service. John chapter number 11, beginning down in verse number 38. Bible says, John chapter 11, verse number 38, Jesus therefore, again groaning in Himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. That's reading from verse 38 down through verse 46 of John chapter number 11. A lot has happened to get us to the very point now that Lazarus is raised from the dead. This miracle, when it was taking place, this miracle was going to be the greatest miracle that Christ had performed up to this point in His life and in His ministry. It was going to be a defining miracle. It was a miracle that they could not deny. Lazarus had been dead 4 days. Now, why was 4 days so important? Because the Jews had a traditional belief. And their traditional belief was that when somebody died, that that the spirit hung around the body for 3 days. They had the idea that if they so desired, or if God so desired, that life could enter back into that body within a couple of days. And so they had that tradition. There was no truth in that, but it was a tradition of the day. But Jesus let Lazarus lay 4 days. They would have no other cause to declare but that God had done the work. It was a defining miracle. It would be a deciding miracle. It would cause some to accept Christ as the Savior, as the Messiah, the Son of God. But others, they would turn away and would reject Him completely. It would be a deciding miracle. It would also be a determining miracle. It set in motion the determination of the religious leaders to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. When word came unto them of what Jesus had done, they decided ultimately and finally that Jesus had to be gotten rid of. So it was a determining miracle. It is instructive in a lot of ways. It tells us something about the power of God. It tells us how that He has power over life and death. It tells us how that He could take somebody that was dead 4 days and say the word, and they would rise from the dead. It tells us that there is a life after death. It tells us that even though Lazarus had died physically, that Jesus declared He was still alive somewhere in the presence of the Father. It tells us that death doesn't change our loved ones. Do you realize that? There are some people ask the question, I wonder, will I know my loved one in heaven? Do you realize when Lazarus came forth after being dead 4 days, I don't see Mary and Martha looking and saying, "Who's that?" They knew it was Lazarus. And by the way, he was still called Lazarus. Preacher, what are you saying? I think God is instructing us a little bit about what it'll be like after death. I think we'll know one another in the city of God. I think we'll know as we're known. I wouldn't know you any other way but by your name. I don't think I'm going to see Brother Glenn or Brother Wesley or Brother Larry in heaven and say, "You look kindly familiar. I think I ought to know you." I think we'll know one another in the city of God based on what Jesus is telling us about death and life. It teaches us how much He loves us in our troubles and trials of life. It teaches us in the tears of Christ how much He cares. It tells us in our hurts, in our disappointments, in our frustrations of life, that He does care about our troubles. It tells us a lot of things about that. A lot of instructions come about up to this point in this time of the story. But it does tell us a great truth about miracles. Now we're living in a day and in a time that a lot of folk don't believe in miracles. But I must tell you, I'm looking on the faces of miracles today. I'm looking on the faces of people that you are a miracle. And God has worked miracles in our lives and in our hearts. Salvation is a miracle of God. That is the ultimate of miracles. When God takes a sinner and saves him by the grace of God. I have watched people bow in this altar in other places. I've watched them bow as a sinner. I've watched them weep and cry and confess to God they were lost. And ask God to save them by His grace. And I've watched a miracle take place in their life. Oh, I couldn't just put a finger on it all. I can't always say exactly when it happened to the very second, but I've watched God change their life. I've watched Him save them. I've watched Him do a work. And I'm glad to say He's still doing miracles today. But I want to say there is something about the miracle of Lazarus raising that draws my heart and my attention today. As we come to the end of our study of John 11, I'm interested in these things this morning, and I want to preach for a little bit on this thought of believe in miracles, but trust in Jesus. You see, there are times that our eyes are focused just on the miracle. There are times that all we see is the miraculous that we desire and want done. But it's not about the miracle. It's about Jesus that does the work. And that's what we see in our text. It is our desire that we look at the miracle but see Jesus in this text today. I want you to notice a few things this morning that goes into the making of a miracle. You say, preacher, do you think that you can tell me something about how a miracle comes about? I think I can by the Word of God. First of all, it involves an impossible situation. Do you realize everything about this story and everything about this text? It reveals an impossible situation. Lazarus was dead, and Lazarus was in the grave. There is, by all outward appearance, no hope. Dealing this morning in the Sunday school lesson taught about no hope. And that's exactly what was happening in the lives of Mary and Martha. There was no hope. Everything on the outside was impossible. You see, the crowd that was gathered around that day, they were even saying, it can't be done. They looked on that particular day. They saw the tears of Christ. And they said, oh, you mean to tell us that He that supposedly opened the eyes of the blind could not touch this man and heal him? That he wouldn't have died? You know what? They saw the tears of Jesus as failure.
They said, you know, he's crying because he couldn't do anything about it. They saw no hope. Even Martha was standing there that day. And Martha wasn't looking for a miracle. She had heard all that Jesus said. She had heard how he had talked about being the resurrection and the life. And she had said, Lord, I believe that. I believe you are the Son of God. But when Jesus says, roll the stone away, Martha didn't say, oh, he's fixing to do a miracle. No, Martha said, Lord, by now he stinketh. He's been dead 4 days. No hope. It was an impossible situation. Can I ask you this question today? What kind of impossible situation are you facing today? Have you got your own Lazarus that's dead? It may be an individual that you've been praying for. It may be you've been praying a long time. Maybe you've been praying for years. Maybe you've been praying all your life. And you're saying, Lord, it don't look like they're ever going to change. It don't look like anything's going to happen. You've been searching for signs of life. You've been looking for signs of hope. But in all of your searching, it still looks like an impossible situation. There are moms and dads today that have been praying for children for years and years and years. There's moms and dads been crying and calling out their name and saying, God, I believed a long time ago that you saved them by your grace. I believe back there you did a work in their heart. And I watched them stray. I watched them go down the road like the prodigal son. I've watched them leave and I've watched hoping they'd come back. But I'm not seeing them return. I'm not seeing any hope. It may appear on the outside like an impossible situation. There are people that have circumstances in their life today that on the outside it looks like an impossible situation. It could be that while you hold that bill in your hand, it could be while you hold that debt in your hand, it could be while you hold that doctor report in your hand, you're saying, Lord, it don't look like there's any hope. It don't look like there's any help. I don't have any way of getting this kind of money. I don't have any way of getting this worked out or straightened out in my life. On the outside, it looks like an impossible situation. Just like in their day, just like in their lives, there was apparently no hope. No hope. It was there that they were looking, and Jesus said unto them in verse 40, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. We often say, seeing is believing. We often say, if I could only see a little light, if I could only see a little hope, if I could only see a little something there, if I could only see a little spark, then my hope would be renewed and I could believe that Jesus would work. But we get it all backwards. Do you notice what Jesus said? He didn't say seeing is believing. He said believing is seeing. He said you've got to believe. You've got to believe when circumstances say no. When it looks like it's impossible. When it appears on the outside that nothing's going to change. When you can't see a sign of hope or life. When you don't see a spark of change. He said you must believe before you're going to see. You see, we've got to look beyond circumstances.
We've got to look beyond appearances. We've got to look beyond what we see with our eyes and feel with our hands and hear with our ears. It means taking a risk. It means saying, Lord, I don't understand how. I don't see a way through. But Lord, I'm trusting you to do the work. You see, that's what it comes down to. You see, we're to believe in miracles. We got to trust in Jesus. It is to get our eyes off of things and get our eyes on Him. There are people right here today, under the sound of my voice, all you can see is your circumstance. All you can see is your situation. All you can see is that obstacle. All you can see is that looks like a barrier. And all you can see is an impossible situation. But the Lord is saying today, you've got to look beyond all of that to see me. You see, a miracle involves an impossible situation. But it also involves here some important instruction. You see, Jesus gives instruction by His words, but also by His actions. He is telling Martha, Martha, you've got to look beyond the critics. Martha, you've got to look beyond your doubts. Martha, you've got to look beyond appearances. Martha, you've got to look beyond all of that, and you've got to see me. Trust in who I am. You realize that we all on occasion struggle in our faith, do we not? We all on occasions struggle and we say, Lord, I just don't understand. I don't know why. It looks like I've prayed and prayed and prayed. It looks like something would change. I thought that I'd see a spark of hope. I thought I'd see a glimmer of light. I thought that I'd see something happen. But I'm not seeing anything. I'm not seeing any hope. I'm not seeing any change. Hey, listen today. There are times that we all struggle with doubts in our heart, just like Martha. There are times that every one of us, all we can see is the outside. All we can think about is that stinking situation. All we can think about is that long, unending problem. All we can think about is what has not happened in our life. But Jesus gives important instruction. You see, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Jesus is saying, Martha, you don't remember what I said? You know, there's times you and I memorize all kinds of verses. There are times that we plan in our mind, in our heart, all kinds of promises. But there are still those times in our life that we begin to doubt and we forget those promises. You know what? I have that promise in my heart where He said, I'll never leave thee and I'll never forsake thee. I have those promises where He said, my grace is sufficient for thee and my strength is made perfect in weakness. I don't know about you, but I know about me. There are times I begin to doubt His faithfulness. There are times I begin to say, God's grace is going to be enough. Is there a time in my life, oh God, that you're going to fail or let me down? We all on occasion have doubts and struggle in our hearts and in our lives. We all get there. That thought may not linger long, but it does pass through the mind. The devil likes to shoot that thought in your mind. If God really cared, you'd not be where you are. The devil likes to run that thought through. And if God really loved you, you'd not be hurting right now. I want to tell you, that's the kind of things that challenge our doubts and our faith. That causes our doubts and challenges our faith in God. And Jesus said, you must believe. We must hear what He says.
and believe what He says with all of our heart. But then there's another piece of instruction in verse 41-42. It says, finally they took away the stone. Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. And I knew that Thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that Thou hast sent me. What instruction is the Lord giving us here? To pray. To pray. You know what all indications, you read the words closely. Jesus doesn't pray here about the raising of Lazarus. He has already talked to the Father about that. He is saying, Father, I thank You. I'm thanking Thee that You've heard me. He's already been praying about what He's about to do. He's already been talking to the Father about Lazarus. He's already talked to the Father about the situation. And He knows full well what's going to happen. But He sets an example for us that we ought to pray about those impossible situations. You say, preacher, what can I do? What can I do? My hands are tied. I can't fix it. I can't straighten it out. I don't have the answer. I don't know what the solution is. Well, you can pray. You can talk to the Father in heaven about it. And you can tell Him all about that trouble. All about that trial. All about that situation. You can tell Him all about it. Jesus always knew the importance a prayer. You find Him on numerous occasions stealing away alone to pray, talking to the Father. Do you ever wonder? You ever wonder what the disciples may have thought about Jesus' praying? You know, as often as He prayed, then the disciples following Him saw Him rejected. They saw Him criticized. They saw Him mocked. There were times He had to hurry out of town or they were going to stone Him. There were times He had to go into other portions of the land and stay there because they were so angry at what He had done in their towns. Even going back to Bethany, they had raised the questions that the Jews had sought to kill Him. As of late, do you ever wonder what the disciples thought about His praying when they saw all that going on? Do you ever wonder that the disciples thought, well, maybe this thing ain't working out like He thought. He prays and prays and prays, but it looks like it's getting worse instead of better. Do you and I not often think about the same thing when we're praying? There are times you pray and you say, Lord God, I've been a-praying and I've been a-praying and I've been a-praying and it don't seem like they're getting any closer. It don't seem like they're getting any better. I've been a-praying they had come home and they seem like they're going farther. I've been a-praying You'd save them and they're not even interested in coming to church. I've been a-praying You'd handle that situation and it looks like it's getting worse. I'm getting phone calls. I'm getting questions. I pray and I pray and I pray, but it doesn't seem like any answer is coming. You know what Jesus was saying? Keep on praying. Amen. Just keep on praying. It may look on the outside that things are bad, but it ain't over yet. It may look like things are bad, but it ain't done yet. Just keep on praying. Keep on talking to the Father. Keep on placing them on the altar. Keep on putting it in the hands of God. Somewhere, He is going to work. He's going to answer that prayer. He said, Father, I thank You that You hear me and that You always hear me. You know what that tells me? The Father's always listening. He's always hearing my feeble little cry. You know what? There's times I can't get nothing but tears out. You ever get that? Yeah. Well, there's times I've been in the altar. There's times I've been at home. There's times I've rode down the road. My heart was so burdened and heavy over things, I began to try to pray, and I couldn't get words to come out. All come out was tears. I just wept and cried unto God. But you say, what was going on? The Father had His ear tuned in, and the Father was a-listening, and the Father was a-watching. He is a-marking every tear that came down the cheek. He was saving that tear in His bottle. He knew what you were going through. He knew the hurt of your heart. Thank God, I'm glad you can keep on praying, because He's hearing. He's listening. He's listening. Oh, listen, Martha didn't have a clue what Jesus was going to do. Jesus said, take away the stone. She said, Lord, by now He stinks. Been dead 4 days. She didn't have a clue what He was doing. Jesus was saying, just believe. You just keep on believing. You keep on trusting Me. Don't give up now. Don't give up. Hey, listen to what He's telling me and you today is, don't give up yet. Don't give up yet. You've been looking at that stinking situation. You've been looking at that impossible situation. You've been looking at what's going on. Don't give up yet. It may look impossible, but just keep praying. Don't give up yet. You see, we need to do just what He says do. He said, take away the stone. Martha argued a little bit about that. Jesus said, you need to believe. So they moved the stone. You say, preacher, what can I do? Why, you can just do what He says do. You say, preacher, I'm waiting, I'm a praying, I'm a crying, I'm a looking, I'm a hoping. I ain't a seeing nothing change. I ain't a seeing them saved. I ain't a seeing nothing done. Just keep on doing what He says do. Just keep on doing what He says. When He tells you to roll a stone, roll a stone. When He says pray, just pray. When He says lift up your hand, lift up your hand. When He says just say a word, say a word. Whatever He says, obey His word and do it. And let Him do the work in your life. There is here an impossible situation. There is here important instruction. But lastly, there is here an impressing conclusion. An impressing conclusion. It impresses me with the simplicity that this story ends with. I want to say that there had been 42 verses, I believe it is. Up to this point, 42 verses have led us up to the raising of Lazarus. With great detail, John told about how Jesus loved him, how the messenger was sent, how that Jesus said the words, how that He waited, how the disciples discussed going back to that area, how that Jesus said, I've got to go, how all of that, how He stood and talked to Martha, how He stood and talked to Mary, all that He did, how He wept, all of that great detail, 42 verses, but in only 2 verses, the miracle took place. You say, preacher, what point are you driving at? What are you trying to say? It's amazing how quickly the Lord can do it when it's time to do it. You know what? There are things that you and I may pray about for months and months and weeks and years. We may wonder if it's ever going to happen. Do you realize when the time's right, God can do it in an instant. God can do it in an instant. I mean, He don't need my help to do it. He don't need my explanation to figure it out. He don't need me to tell Him how and why and when and where and all of that. If I'll just leave it in His hands, and if I'll just trust Him and pray and obey His word, when the time is right, He'll do it in an instant like it needs to be done. You see, Jesus said, roll back the stone. They rolled the stone. He prayed to the Father. Then in just a matter of few words, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. I could say a whole lot about that today. You see, He could have just said, come forth. He would have cleaned out every grave across this world.
You're right, man.
But He called Lazarus by name. Hey, hang on. child of God. Hang on, weary pilgrim. There's going to come a day. He's going to call your situation by name. There's going to come a day. He's going to call your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife by name. And when He calls them by name, He will do the work in an instant. He don't need my help. He just needs me to trust Him. He needs me to rely on Him. He needs me to pray about it to Him. In the right moment, in the right time, in the right way, He will say the word and it'll be done.
Yes, sir.
He called Lazarus, come forth at the right time. By the way, He's going to do it when He gets the glory.
Amen.
You see, when you and I, now listen closely to what I'm about to say. You and I get to the place that all we care about is Him getting the glory. That frees Him to do the work He desires to do like He wants to do it. You know what? So many times I pray about my issues, my impossible things, and I say, but Lord, it sure would be good if You'd do it this way. I sure would like You to do it that way. I sure would like You to handle it like this. But if we get to the place we say, Lord God, I don't care how You do it. Just do it where You get the glory. And You get the honor and You get the praise. When it becomes about Him. When it gets to the place it ain't about our way. When it gets to the place it ain't about what I want. When it gets to the place it's about Him and His will and His glory. Then He will do what needs to be done. I want to tell you, whenever we get to that point that we just let Him do His work, He'll do great things. Listen to what Isaiah says. Isaiah 41 says, when the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I the Lord will hear them. I the God of Israel will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar tree, the myrtle and the oak tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together that they may see and know and consider and understand that the hand of the Lord hath done this. God said, when there's water needed, when there's shade needed, when there's help needed, when there's hope needed, whenever all of those things seem to be of no hope, hang on, I'll do it, and I'll do it in a way that they'll stand back and say, only God could have done that.
Amen.
He's not going to share His glory with anybody. He wants the glory and the honor for what He's done. Preacher, what do I need to do? I believe what we need to do is just say, Lord, You do it Your way. Lord, here's the burden of my heart. But Lord, You do it where You get the glory and You get the honor. I'm just going to trust You. You see, it's getting our eyes off of the problem, off of the miracle we desire, and getting our eyes on Him and Him alone. You realize there were three occasions Jesus raised from the dead. Three occasions He raised people from the dead. He raised Jairus' daughter who had only been dead minutes. He raised the widow woman's son at the city of Nain who had been dead a few hours. But He raised Lazarus who had been dead 4 days. You see, they were all dead. They were all dead, all three of them. One just dead a short time. One a little longer. Lord, what a long time. It tells me that it doesn't matter how big, how small, how deep the problem is. He's still God. He can still do a miracle. We just need to trust Him to do it in His time.
God.
He's still doing miracles today. You see, there's a lot of things set free that day. Whenever Lazarus came forth, He said, loose him and let him go. I want to tell you, there's a whole lot more than Lazarus set free that day. I believe Mary and Martha were set free. I believe they had been carrying a burden and a load over their brother. That day that load was lifted and they were set free. Old Lazarus was set free. There were a crowd of folks standing around that saw what went on. They gave glory to God. Then they turned to Jesus, and in their hearts they were set free. You see, if we'll let Him do it in His way, He can touch hearts. He can change lives. He can do the work, and He'll do it where He gets the glory and the honor. And praise. Have you got an impossible situation today? Have you got something going on in your life that you look at and say, Lord God, I've been praying and praying and praying and praying. I've tried. I've looked for hope. I've looked for this. I've tried this. I've tried that. And Lord, it ain't nothing any better. Why not just trust Jesus with it today? Why not just say to the Lord, Lord God in heaven, I didn't come to tell you what to do. I just come to tell you to do it for your glory and your honor and praise. You do it like it needs to be done. You do it. You see, they wanted it done. Martha wanted it done 4 days earlier. She wanted it done a long time. They, some of you, you said, Lord, you should have done this last year, last month. You should have done this last week. But God's timing is not our timing. When the time is right, He'll do the work. Preacher, what do I need to do? I just do what He says. If He says roll some stones, I'd roll some stones. He said, just trust me. I'd just trust Him. He says, pray. I'd just pray. I'd leave it in the hands of God and say, Lord, in Your time and Your way, do it where You get the glory and You get the honor. You see, I believe we're to believe in miracles. He does work miracles. But beyond the miracle, we're to trust in Jesus. We're to keep our eyes on Him. Trust Him with it all. Have you got an impossible situation today? While they're coming to the instruments, getting ready to sing, if you've got an impossible situation in your life today, maybe there's somebody you've been praying for. Maybe there's a situation you've been praying about. Maybe there's a problem in your life you've not told anybody else about, but God knows. Well, maybe what you need to do today is just bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, I didn't come to tell you how to fix it. I didn't come to tell you when to fix it. I just come to say, Lord, here it is. In Your time, in Your way, do it where You get the glory and You get the honor. He can still do a miracle. He can call your Lazarus by name and say, come forth. If we'll let Him do it, He'll do it so quickly we'll stand in amazement and say, my, how wondrous a God we serve. How about it today? Let's stand to our feet.